Bible says that the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Very simple statement. One of the shifts of the angels of Bethlehem, especially those who took care of the temple sheep, which most likely these shepherds that we're talking about this morning did. But folks, there is a whole lot about being a shepherd in the first century that maybe we don't equate with when we think about the shepherd of the 21st century. And when you know a little bit more about those shepherds and what took place, all of a sudden the Christmas story and what took place on those fields, the meaning just changes drastically. Because you see some things you've never, ever seen before. I hope we showed you that about Joseph last week, and I hope and my prayer is this morning that we're going to do the same thing when we talk about the shepherds. Because let me tell you, can you imagine being out just doing your job, doing what you've done most of your life, and then an angel, first of all, appears to you, and not only does the angel appear to you, that angel starts talking. And then I think later in verse 9, is it? In chapter 2 of Luke, the heaven, the stratia in the Greek, of angels. You look back in that, and we're not going to go back through all that and the references, but I hope you'll just take my word scripturally. In the Bible, the word stratia in the Old Testament means 10,000 times 10,000. Which I think if you multiply all that together, 100,000. Anyway, it ends up being 100 million. Now, you know, one angel is just something else. But 100 million? Filling the sky of Bethlehem? There was no part of the sky, that, at least the way I consider that, didn't have an angel in it. All to those shepherds. And I believe I know the reason why. I believe the Scripture tells us the reason why. And by knowing the reason why, our Lord sent His messenger, the angel, to those shepherds, I guarantee you will change how you look at Christmas. Now we're in Luke chapter 2. Got your Bibles? We're beginning in verse 15. And I want to read that this morning as we begin. From the Holman Christian Standard Bible, just listen to these words, verses 15 through 20. Now, the angelic group has already shown up. That's over with. And now let's pick up the story after the angels have left. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Isn't it interesting? They say the Lord. Verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things, a continual process, in her heart and meditating on them. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Now go back, and I want you to go back with me this morning and to go out to that field. Where and however you picture a field of shepherds taking care of their sheep, whatever that shows you in your mind. And you'll see this message to these lonely and, yes, dirty and smelly shepherds. And the message was simply this: you will find a babe that's wrapped in pieces of cloth, swaddling clothes, and that babe will be lying in a manger, in a feeding trough. That was the sign. That was the sign given over 700 years plus before the very birth of Jesus by Isaiah the prophet. That's the sign that was given then, and this is the sign that is fulfilled out with those shepherds in that field. Now something absolutely incredible happens. The angels now were gone. The sky has gone back to dark. And the shepherds do something that is absolutely unheard of as a shepherd in the first century. They leave their sheep. You go back and read that, and you'll see they leave them. Shepherd never left the sheep. They always did shifts. But in this case, they said that they left immediately. Have you ever wondered what happened to those sheep? I mean, this is the way I think when I study Scripture. The shepherds left. Shepherds don't leave them, yes, but you know what I think happened? Now, granted, if they had to leave in an emergency, if one of the shepherds had to leave, the others would take the sheep to a safe area. Perhaps that's what happened. But now you go back with me a minute. First of all, an angel of the Lord showed up and talked to the shepherds. And secondly, there was 100 million of his cohorts up there in the sky. And now the angels would get up and leave and go to Bethlehem. You and I would probably do the same thing. But what happened to those sheep? Remember how important the one is to the 99? You remember that story in the Scripture? So the shepherds take off. I believe God took care of those sheep. I can't explain how all that happened. Maybe just as a shepherd normally would do. But there were no shepherds left. They all left. The Scripture is very explicit. All the shepherds left. What happened to the sheep? Folks, the power of those angels and the power of that angel that spoke and the power of God, I am convinced out in that field, some way, somehow, God just simply said, hey guys, you don't worry about those sheep. There's a whole lot more important something happening in that manger in Bethlehem. You go. And so the Scripture says they went straight to Bethlehem. Now let me tell you something about being a shepherd. In the caste or class system, being a shepherd was the lowest man on the totem pole. First of all, he smelled. A shepherd, if he walked in from the first century in this sanctuary and sat beside you, most of us in this house would get up and move just a little ways to the left or right because they smelled. They just stank. Stink, stank, stunk. Best way to describe it. If you've ever worked with sheep, and I have one time in my life when we did a drive-through living nativity at First Baptist Smyrna, and the shepherd told us, now you grab the sheep by the back of their wool and pull them, and they'll follow you. You know he's right. But the only problem is they keep following you. Jim Wallace, and he's not here this morning, he could verify this with me. He and I were the surrogate shepherds, I guess. I don't know quite how to describe us, but we were, and the shepherd told us exactly what to do. Well, Jim was setting up everything, and I took the sheep, got them in their little corral place where the people would drive through and see this gorgeous scene of the shepherds and the sheep. The only problem is when I take those sheep, and I would move them to where they needed to be. Now, we didn't tie them down. That was really interesting. The shepherd said, don't do that. They'll be okay. And I would leave them right there. Then I would take off and begin going over here to the other side of the church, just like I am now. I'd get over here, and I'd turn around, and lo and behold, there were 6 sheep following me. There's more to that story I won't tell you right now. But I will tell you this, I'd walk in, Jim and I both, we would walk in the fellowship hall of the church. One of our dear ladies looked at me, and you got to understand, she was very frank no matter what, and that's fine. She looked at me, and she just folded her arms when I came in like this, and Jim and I were standing there, and she said, guys, y'all stink. Well, then the shepherds could not go through the ceremonial washing preparing for worship in the church. So therefore, they were not even permitted in worship if you were a shepherd. Didn't make a whole lot of money. They were considered the lowest of intelligence. Can it get much worse? Needless to say, most of us are not going to run out and sign up to be a shepherd. But this is the way shepherds were looked at in that day and time. They were looked at, I suppose, as unclean. Don't get around me. But God showed up to the smelly, to the dirty, to the unintelligent, to the lowest on the economic scale, and pronounced to them and proclaimed that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. He didn't go to the kings. He didn't go to the religious rulers. He didn't go to the Baptist pastor. He went to the dirtiest of all people, the ordinary guy, the derelict, as we would say. And he says, guys, I want to tell you something. God has been incarnated, has been born, has left heaven, and he's laying in a feeding trough wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. You know, I'm so glad God went to those shepherds first, and they became the first evangelists. They're the ones that told the story. Folks, let me tell you, if God can take those humble shepherds and use them like he did, what can he do with all of us in the house today? And what has he done? It's absolutely incredible. There are four things I want to tell you this morning that's in your outline about shepherds, about these guys, about their character, about what they did that will show you these things. And I want you to filter everything I say in these next few minutes by this little bit of background information that I've given you. Now, we don't know how many shepherds that there were there. Was there one, two, three, four, five? We assume three, maybe two, maybe four. And the reason is the word report, and they reported, that is really a police term, a law term, I guess is the best way to try to describe it. The word means in the Greek that you have to be supported by two or three witnesses. Every testimony, everything against you or anything like that, you had to have, of your innocence, so to speak, you had to have the support of two, perhaps three witnesses, according to Matthew chapter 18. So we believe by that word alone, there were at least three, and strategically with shepherds, they usually had someone at the head gate or the head area of the sheep, where it was the lead sheep, the lead shepherd, and then you had two to three around the herd that took care of them from the back and from the sides. So most likely three to four, we don't know. Never told that information. Nor does it really matter in this respect. There were shepherds with an S. And all these shepherds fit the MO of what I just shared with you about. And let me tell you these four things about what happened to them in light of this history. And I hope it'll blow you away. Here's the first one. Write the word in that blank, simply the word obedience. Would you do that? And I've put them up there. You can go ahead and fill out your outline if you like, because I want you to stay with me in these few brief minutes as I share with you these words, because I'm telling you, it's absolutely incredible. When I was going back and looking at the shepherds again and going back and doing some further study, it's amazing what God brought out. And I said, whoa, Lord, I've never seen that before. And that's what God does. He does that to you. What those shepherds do? The Bible says in verse 15, they said, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Now, years before we had the GPS systems, we used maps. Most younger people have a little problem wondering what a map is. But we used a specific map to get us from here to Daytona Beach, to Panama City, or other places that you would go. And if you were going on a trip like that, there's a probably pretty good chance, either from AAA, AARP, or somebody, you got you a map. And you plotted out your trip. And if you were going from Marietta, Georgia to Daytona Beach, you plotted, most likely, the fastest and easiest route to get where you're going. Chances are you went this way to go south, straight to Daytona Beach from Marietta, this way. Chances are you did not do this. You went straight. That's a nautical term. You look at air traffic controllers and you look at their maps. Most of their maps don't go like this. Most of their maps go straight because that plane is on a flight path to a specific place from point A to point B. The shepherd said, now, it's just over the hills here. We're not a long distance away. But the Bible says they were obedient to that shepherd, to that angel, to the heavenly host. And immediately these men said, let's go straight. Let's go through the hardest way. Whatever it takes, we're going straight to Bethlehem. Because what we've got to do is to be able to see what these angels and the angel of God just told us about. Now, how would you be acting at this point? You just been approached by 100 million angels. One of them talked and told you of the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnated Son of God, in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. And what are you, can you, I stand there with those shepherds and I see the sheep, and the sheep knew the shepherd, remember? They know they're shepherds. And so I can't help but sense the shepherd, the sheep knew something was really going on, big time. And yet those shepherds realized that their first and foremost thing was to be obedient. The last thing the world expected from a shepherd was to be obedient. You see why now? You see because of who he was? And society paints such a dirty, bad picture of a shepherd. But God paints him as an evangelist, and we're going to see that in just a minute. So don't forget that word. The first thing is that they went straight. They went through. And you know, these shepherds knew exactly what's going on. They were godly men. Have you ever seen that? You know, when we think about the shepherds, we just think about the shepherds. Oh, isn't that nice? They're out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And then we read a word that just changes everything. Let me show you that word. It's the word kurios in the Greek. It's translated Lord. And in verse 15, when the angels have left them and returned to heaven, the shepherd said, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. These weren't pagan shepherds, folks. These were godly men. They knew. That's why God came to them. They knew what the angel said was true. There is no evidence in the Greek language of any doubt, of any questioning. They just simply said, we need to obey. Let us go to Bethlehem now, and we're going to take the straightest way there, right through the mountains if we have to. Wow. Can you imagine? Well, obedience. Obedience is the first word. The second word you already have up there, which it is in verse 16, is the word urgency. Verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. They hurried off. Whenever my mom and dad told me to do something and I didn't do it, it was always, Randy, would you take out the garbage? Kind of in that voice. And I didn't do it. I kind of forgot. The next thing, Randy, you need to take out the garbage. So the voice inflection just went up about 3 decibels. And still, I conveniently forgot. Any of y'all ever done that before? And finally, I can hear my dear, sweet mother from the living room all the way to the den. Randy Michael Cheek? Yes, ma'am. Have you taken out the garbage? No, ma'am. Well, then what I do? When she said Randy Michael Cheek, that tended to get my attention, and I did what I was supposed to do. Folks, do you see the urgency of these 100 million angels and the angel messenger of God saying to those shepherds, go see? And they meant not tomorrow, not in a few minutes, now. And that's what God does. When God convicts, have you ever been in the situation, you've been in McDonald's. I'm just using that as an example. You're ordering a Big Mac, I don't know. But the person next to you, just for some reason, somewhere, maybe behind you, you overheard a conversation, and they go to such and such church, and you just really sense you need to invite them to Olive Spring, or you need to say something about your faith in the Lord, and that you, whatever, and you don't. And God convicts you of that. You get in your car and you drive off and you're turning out on the main highway. And God just says, you know, you really should have said something about our relationship to those people. God went to those shepherds. There's something you need to know. And you need to act on it right. Because God said it. And that's why they went straight by being obedient. But that's why there was such an urgency to make sure that they went quickly to find him. And folks, you got to understand this too. They had just seen a stratia, a heavenly host, a multitude of heavenly hosts. I believe, as we say in our vernacular today, they were a little pumped. They were ready to go. And they moved quickly. And there was an urgency. You know, I don't believe anything at all could have stopped these men from going to Bethlehem. They knew who they were. They knew the caste system they were part of. They knew people didn't like them. They knew they were seen as outcast in the world because of what they did. They knew they smelled, and they said, people are not going to like us to be around. They won't want us to come sit in that stable because we smell too bad. They knew all that. It didn't stop them. I am so glad it didn't stop them. I am so glad those men had a sense of urgency. Let us go now. But then there's a third word. And here's the word that for me, for the Christmas story, changes everything for these shepherds. It's the word salvation. Found in verses 17 and 18. After seeing them, that is Mary and Joseph and the baby, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Look at that. They reported the message. Such an interesting word. The message is the word rhema, the word. They reported the word, a physical word that is fact in the Greek. It's not the logos here. It's not in the beginning was the logos, the word of John 1:1. This is the word rhema, which means a physical fact, a truth, an absolute truth in this case, that they were reporting. And the Bible says that they reported it. Now, to report a message and for the people to understand that message, there had to be 2 to 3 witnesses. That's why we believe there was at least 3 to 4 shepherds. And they made that report. So what does that make the shepherds? You ever thought about that? Makes them the first evangelists. The first preachers of the good news. The angels announced the message. God sent his messenger, the angelos, the angel. and told them the sign of the Old Testament is the sign that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough. This is the Son of God. And these shepherds left immediately. They were obedient. They left with an urgency, and they became the first messengers of salvation because they told the world. But look at verse 18. This is an interesting verse. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then that verse just ends. Nothing else said about what happens. The word amazed here means exactly what it said. It means to, it's back of your mouth drops. Have you ever been in a situation and you sit there and you just all of a sudden, I mean, you just, whoa. You're just blown away. That's exactly what this word amazed means. Their mouths drop. The people says, whoa. You can read that scripture from here to eternity, and you will never find what those people who were amazed ever did about what they heard. The shepherds were so excited. You ever done that? Been so excited to tell somebody about Jesus, to tell them what's happening at God's church. They can sense that excitement. And then the devil gets a hold of you because that person that you tell does not respond. They're quiet. They just say, oh, well, okay. We're whoa. But there's no further response. God told Jeremiah in the Old Testament, you will preach, but no one will respond. He was the weeping prophet. He cried over God's people. But you know something? Jeremiah never stopped preaching the word. These shepherds, the Greek language indicates present activity that continued. They returned to praising God. That is a participle, which means they continued to do it over and over and over and over again. They never stopped, which tells you and me, folks, we are the messengers of salvation in this world. Even when people don't, even when they're amazed by what you say and they don't respond, for God's sake, don't stop preaching the Word of God. So those old smelly, dirty, yucky shepherds were the first preachers. They were the first preachers of the incarnated God, man, in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. I don't know about you folks, but when I read stuff like this and when I see it back in its language and whatever, I think of those shepherds and I think, you know, Lord, now I understand. You didn't go to Caesar. You didn't go to Herod. You went to the lowest of low, and you told them that your son, you had left heaven, and now you're lying in that feeding trough. There's a final word I want to tell you this morning. It's number four. It's down there. Verses 19 and 20. What did these shepherds do? And we see that as portrayed even in our nativity scene on the communion table in front of us. Worship. But Mary was treasuring. I love the Holman Christian Standard translation here. Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Now, we're going to see that in 2 weeks about Mary, the Sunday before Christmas. And I want to share with you some things about Mary. But one thing I want you to understand, the Magnificat, the story, what she shared about what happened when it was announced to her of the birth of Jesus Christ in her womb. And the heart of Mary, the lady was just absolutely overwhelmed. And you know, if you look at this manger scene here, in most manger scenes, Mary will be either holding the baby or she will be kneeling right there at the manger. You check your manger at your house and see if that's not true. You ever wondered why? Folks, again, Mary, I mean, that lady's 14 years old. She's just been conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. Joseph, we already found out and talked about what an incredible man he was last week. And now Mary is just absolutely overwhelmed. And now all of that comes to fruition in Mary. She's kneeling there at the manger, and she's looking at who she knows to be God. And she's overwhelmed. She couldn't speak. She couldn't tell a soul, not because she didn't want to. It's just she was so incredibly overwhelmed. I just gave birth to God on this earth. And Mary knew it. So did Joseph. But look at verse 20. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, continually glorifying, continually praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been reported to them. If you'd been one of those shepherds, you and I and all of us together, we'd been a boatload of shepherds, wouldn't we, going up to the manger. But y'all, what would you have done? Now, Bethlehem is crowded, the census. You can't even move in the city. We already know that because there's no place for Jesus but the stable. What would you have done when you knew, and you knew this? This is God in this little feeding trough. This is not just another little baby. This is God. This is incarnated God who emptied himself from heaven and became man. And you knew that. What would you do? I know what I'd do. I'd fall on my face before that manger and before that area and just pour my heart out. I couldn't say a word. I would be so overwhelmed, so overcome with emotion, so overcome with thankfulness that God would leave heaven because he loved me, and now he's bedded down in a feeding trough. It would be such emotion that would be, wow, how do you describe it? How do you explain it? And I believe that's exactly what happened to those shepherds. I believe they got to that manger, folks, and they fell on their faces before that little baby. They saw Mary and Joseph, and they all stayed there. I don't know how long they stayed there, but maybe a few hours. I don't know, a few minutes. However long it was or however short it was, when they got up from there, they went and they praised God. But I think of something else. And again, y'all, I think like this. You know, the word says the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. The Greek words returned, glorifying and praising, like I say, are in the present tense. And the present means yesterday, today, and forever. It means on and on and on and on. This means that when those shepherds got back to those sheep, they were praising and glorifying God. Now, the sheep knows the shepherd. Would you agree? Now the sheep says, y'all, something happened to our shepherds. They're not the same men when they left a little while ago. And bless God, when you get in the front of Jesus Christ, you won't ever be the same again either. Now that's what happened at the manger. And that's why we talk about the shepherds and who they are and their life. And the very fact that they were obedient, the very fact they were urgent, the very fact they were the first evangelists, and they worshiped God. And then after I prepared all this, I said, now, Lord, there's so much. How do you, there is so much in just this one message. And then I started writing. And when I start writing like that, I just have to keep writing. I'm oblivious to what's going on around me, and I just keep writing. And I wrote four things down. And what I was saying is, what can we learn from the shepherds after all this is said and done? The first thing, we must obey God, period. The second thing, you and I must regain a sense of urgency to tell others about the good news of great joy found in Bethlehem. Folks, we've lost that urgency. In the Southern Baptist Convention, in a statistic study done by Lifeway last year, it takes 50 Southern Baptists to lead one person to Christ. Now, I'm not talking about other denominations, I'm talking about us. It takes 50 of us. We got about 100. That means with us in here, we can lead two. Bless Jesus. Thank you, God. But isn't there something wrong with that picture? Doesn't the Bible says one leads one? Not 50 leads one. There's got to be an urgency. And then we must be the messengers of salvation, just like those shepherds. Because, folks, you are the Bible, the only Bible some people will ever read. All of us. Wherever we are this Christmas season, may we be ambassadors, evangelists. And may our life, everything we say and do, reflect that we are. Wow. And the fourth thing I wrote down is we must rediscover the true meaning of worship. It's all about God. Y'all, these shepherds, as the familiar TV show years ago used to say, were touched by the angels. And those men and their lives would never be the same again. May it be so with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the shepherds. And Lord, you know, you really could. You could have gone to all the kings and all the high class and all this, but you didn't. You went to those men who were the lowliest of low, and you told them about God becoming man and where they could find him. You reminded them of the Old Testament sign of prophecy. And then, Father, they obeyed you with such a sense of urgency. Lord Jesus, they became the first evangelists of telling the story, and they worshiped you. Well, I can only imagine what that was like. May this Christmas, these four things be for us too. We love you, Father. We all just want to say happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. There's not a one of us in this room that would ever be worthy of such a gift. I mean, just coming and leaving the riches of heaven for us. And yet, Lord, you went far beyond leaving heaven. You came to die, to take every sin we'd ever commit on an old rugged cross. And even then, death could not consume or confine you. That tomb was empty, and that tomb remains empty today, because you, and you alone, have been victorious over sin through your blood. So Merry Christmas, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.